Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is Scott Hensler on Scott Hensler Network. It's Sunday, 6 o'clock here in the Pacific time. I'm up in northern Idaho, wedged up between Spokane and Missoula. Just a beautiful area. We've got brown bear, black bear, moose, elk, deer, wolves. In fact, this particular area is said to have about 1,000 wolves. And so we go to the east over into Montana, and there I think they've got two or three times that. Certainly the stories I hear of those that have to defend their property because of the attacks is common here. But this area, too, being the Kootenai, that one time was almost wiped out by the Blackfoot, this type of situation that occurs in an area where there's an aggression, where there's death, where there's a massive killing, otherwise blood that's been spilled, because when one village takes over another, when one government takes over another, when one king invades another, there's always collateral damage. And that collateral damage always involves children and the elderly and men and women that were innocent, that had nothing to do with the situation. And tonight we're talking about curses, or word curses in specific. But that also plays a large part, because what is said during the situations, what is said during your trauma, during your circumstance, if you're going through divorce, if you're in a bad relationship, if you're having issues with your parents when you were young, and even when you're in the womb. And we also cannot forget generational curses. Now, word curses in themselves can be from yourself, can be from your spouse, can be from your siblings, can be from your parents. And unfortunately, that this is a situation that can steer, maneuver, change the rest of your life. Many who are in poverty, many who are dealing with a family that has premature death, a family that has miscarriages, stillborns, those that have high divorce rates, alcoholism, madness, mental illness, by the way, is another curse. But when one speaks into the spirit realm, there's power in the tongue. It's like a two-edged sword. A word curse can be created. Now, there's those that say, well, a curse will not be affected because a curse cannot alight if you don't receive it, like the Old Testament. Otherwise saying, well, I'm running pure. I didn't do any sins. Well, I doubt that, because before you became a Christian, or maybe what you did today, if you looked at pornography, if you're having an affair, if you treated somebody wrong, if you didn't feed the homeless, if you didn't pray for others as God commanded you to do through the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, well, I'm sorry, you're in sin. And so we see the nation that's in the shape that it is now because of curses. Now, word curses can be brought in with oaths. We've heard of superstitions, we've heard of folklores. We know that gypsies, can curse people, which is witchcraft, which falls under divination. We also know that there's a process called charismatic witchcraft or charismatic prayers, and curse prayers. And what that means is that, let's say you're walking by somebody in church, and you say something behind their back as to, oh, they're gaining weight, or they're, you know, maybe you don't like them. They did something a week before, and you spoke something over them that was negative, and they didn't hear it, so they didn't have a chance to say, I do not receive that. And this can come from this, you know, fistful of dollars kind of thing, where, you know, I'm going to give $100 and then I'll receive $1,000. This false doctrine that brings prosperity, the prosperity doctrine that forces an individual to think that if they're not prospering, that they don't have enough faith. And so the other people in the church see someone who is not doing well, come and speak over them negatively, saying to them they don't have faith. No, that individual is most likely under a curse. And what you're doing is you're not standing with them in a spiritual warfare to break the generational curses off them, to break those curses that have been spoke over them. Instead, you're the problem. You spoke negative over your sisters and brothers. And because of that, maybe yourself have at one time been into witchcraft before you were a Christian, and maybe a lot of this stuff you haven't renounced yet. You haven't been delivered, so you literally are the bad pill. You are the curse within the church. You go around speaking things over people, and next thing you know, the church collapses. There's a split. The pastor is sick. Maybe he falls into an adulterous of, gee, am I talking about today's church? Am I talking about mega churches? Am I talking about those institutions that maybe at one time had the Spirit of God? But because of those assignments of the enemy, they bring in people, otherwise the devils, the demons, the fallen angels, the assignment under Lucifer, to come in and take down a church. So you may have people that can that are supposedly prophetic, okay? And maybe they have the gift, but at the same time, they also have clairvoyance. They also have familiar spirits in them that are speaking. So one time they may speak truth, the next time it's not. And since you saw them speak truth, you believed it and you received what they said. And I'll tell you what, I have had that done to me. And I will stand and say, I do not receive it. If you do not test the Spirit, if it does not line up with the Word of God, if you go to the Scriptures and can't find anywhere where you should be taking such a thing that has been spoke over you, that does not edify God, does not lift you up. Now, there is conviction. If we have a brother or sister who is in sin, you come to them in love. If you're speaking over them in a negative sense, that's not love. That's terrorizing them, because they most likely are already in a bad position. They most likely are already under a curse of depression, of anxieties, which eventually can bring to self-hatred, self-loathing, even a spirit of feeling sorry for oneself. And I'll tell you what, that's a nasty spirit. To get that out of a lot of people sometimes is not easy, because misery loves company. And as I was speaking to someone today, that a particular spirit that is a self-hatred spirit, is a spirit that causes fear, a spirit that causes anger, a spirit that causes anxieties, a spirit that causes a depression or a hurtful spirit. Otherwise, they're always wounded. They're so sensitive, you can't say anything around them. That's the spirit. And since that spirit is what it is in its nature, otherwise it's acting out its nature as to what it is. By the way, tonight on Walking Among Spirits, 8 o'clock West Coast time, I'm going to be talking about personality disorders. Well, that's basically what spirits have. They are a disorder in themselves because they're not of God. They're evil, and there's no good found in them. Now, I don't mean that someone that has a personality disorder, that's not the point of it. Is there's an influence that causes a person to behave. You get the spirits out, and your crazy wife will turn into a love. You get the spirits out, and your mean, angry husband will be a puppy. He will love you. He will adore you. He will protect. He will lay his life down for you. But you've got to get the spirits out. And, ladies, there's a good chance that maybe the spirits that are in you are the problem, and he's simply trying to survive every day. He's walking on eggshells, and, yes, it reverses. Men can be tyrants, and women can be in fear. They keep the peace at any cost. It goes both ways. But this isn't of God. This means there's a curse on the family. Now, how many times do I deal with Christians in a church that say, well, that doesn't pertain. Jesus did that on the cross. There's no more curses. There's no more demonic da-da-da. Excuse me, where's it say that? They say, well, that was all done on the cross. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it was done on the cross. But through the great commission of Jesus Christ, you and me, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are the ones to move forward in the power and the authority of God with the blood of the Lamb, giving us all power over the devil to conquer, to destroy, to tear down, to set the captives free. And if you're not doing that, you're walking around deception. Boy, that's another thing, deceiving spirits. Shoo-wee. Man, I was speaking to a gentleman over the weekend, and he was coming to the full realization, just as we all do after a while when we've been in this long enough, that how deceived everyone is, that a large percentage, meaning 90-something percent of the Christian population, don't get it. They really don't see how bad things are. And for those who come on the chat rooms and so forth, oh, another doomsday guy, no. I'm speaking the truth, and the moment that I do not warn you, I'm held accountable. Because those gifts that I've been given to cast out demons and heal the sick and set the captives free, much has been given, much is expected. And since that's a free gift, then I need to give it to someone else free. All the shows, all the writings, everything that I do demand my time, demand my finances, and let me tell you that this is a thankless ministry because of the deception that's in the church. No one wants to support me. I talk about demons and they run the other way even though they're loaded with them. And they never get healed. And then there'll be somebody that's finally had enough and they'll crawl over to me and say, would you pray for me? And absolutely. And next thing you know, that light that was underneath the basket's brought out. They're now able to see themselves as God sees them because the blocking spirits have been removed. And the church isn't doing this. So you've got a massive church under deception. And by the way, that is scriptural. That veil, that curtain, those scales are on the eyes, just like they're on the Jews. They rejected Jesus Christ, and many of them are still not coming there. But as God releases his spirit, because we are in the end times, I can guarantee you this. And by the way, you know the pre-tribulation rapture is well. All I can say is that those who believe in that really don't want to do anything to better themselves, and I mean spiritually, to get them to a level where they can deliver other people. They have a denial of those things coming because they think they're going to be out here on the first boat, the first bus, the first train, the first plane. Sorry. That's not what Revelation says. It says we're going through this. And so every day that I deal with people, and I've been dealing with some really hard cases. In fact, tonight I'm going to be dealing with somebody who's on their deathbed. And so those who are that spirit, that's a death spirit, and I called it out earlier, whenever I called a witness, that when I speak, and I speak and hit the truth of the spirit realm with a particular assignment or curse on that is the demon. By the way, demons are behind the curse. That when I speak it, I get what I call a witness. The Holy Spirit gives me a kind of a rush of an acknowledgement saying, yeah, that's the one, Scott. Go after it. That's it, you know. It's kind of a pat on the back. I don't know what you want to call it. But it's an encouragement because it lets me know that I'm on track. And in order to do this, you need to be in the spirit. And you need to test the spirits. Now, why? The blocking spirits, the deceiving spirits, the familiar spirits, the unclean spirits. And those spirits cause the Christians, as I mentioned with the pre-trib rapture and some of the other teachings that say that we don't have to do deliverance because Christians can't have demons. Man, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That's all I deal with, Christians who have demons. And when I talk to a pastor who looks at me like I got two heads, I'm boggled every time that happens. Because they're so deceived that they're deceiving their congregation. Whenever you have somebody at the top that's supposed to be in charge, and he's in error, and he's in sin, that goes downhill and flows through the church. Every time. No ifs, ands, or buts. Pastor is supposed to be the leader, the one that educates, teaches, to be there as a friend, to be a man of God that allows God to flow through them so others can be receiving what God has for them. And when you're not doing the Great Commission, when you're sitting on your tush and you think everything's rosy, you're fat, dumb, and happy because you think you're getting out of here, you're not doing anything for the people. Frustrating, because there's so many people who are dying, they're killing themselves, they're in absolute misery and divorce and families that are split up. And look at our nation. We've got the most godless man in the world at the top of our government who was allowing thousands and then millions to come into this country illegally using children as a wedge. And by the way, those children that come here, they're flown in to a certain point and then dropped off. And then they have to cross the desert. You people in Arizona and Nevada and Texas and New Mexico, those in the desert areas, Southern California, know what a desert heat is all about. I did search and rescue. I did man tracking. I look for the lost. I look for the bad guy in the deserts of Arizona. I know what the sun can do. I've seen what it does to a body in a very short period of time. When you find them that have been in the direct sun in a 24-hour period, you have absolutely no idea what race they are. And sometimes you don't even know what sex they are because they're so destroyed. And these children, these kids, are being used as pawns, being released to go across large spans of this desert on their own, and many are perishing. Now, I'm not telling you that. Those people who are coming here from Mexico, from South America, are under a curse, of poverty. We look at the drug lords that are down there. We look at the corruption in the governments. Remember I said those things come down the pipeline. They roll downhill onto the people. And so Mexico has been so godless for so long that it is literally a hell that is time one. It's real time. You see it. I can remember going across the border, and I don't like going there anymore. I really never cared for it, but when you go down there and you're familiar with deliverance, everybody I see, the demons are looking back at me. I call them looky looks. They look at me. I look at them. They know I know. And so there's this darkness that rises in their eyes, and they're looking at me like, okay, oops, should I exit stage right? Should I play it cool? I mean, why is he here? The demoniac. Remember when Jesus went on the shore and the demonized individual ran out and yelled to Jesus, why are you here? Are you here to torment us before our time? Omnosis at us. So whenever I'm in Mexico and I see these people, They're on unholy ground. They're cursed. Also, the Catholic Church didn't do them any good, by the way, because that mixed in with the Catholicism, mixed in with witchcraft, mixed in with Aztec and Mayan and just a little bit of everything that is divination. And so by practicing and doing such things, that puts you under a curse. So I can understand them coming here. But now we've got all these people who are not coming here for Jesus Christ. They're coming onto the U.S. soil loaded with demons, loaded with curses, loaded with diseases, by the way. Tuberculosis, who knows what else they got. And God love them. I mean, this isn't about putting those innocent people in a position but see, we're not doing it. The United States government is doing this. Obama's doing this. This monarch of Nazism is doing this. See, Nazism hasn't died. It never did. It just simply went underground, knowing that it could not do it physically, that it had to do it spiritually. And so by overwhelming the system, by taking down the borders, then we have an onslaught of individuals who are cursed. And those curses then will pass on to the other people. So, and now there would be an answer. The answer would be if these churches, these so-called Christian churches, the so-called pastors, had it together and made a type of environment, a corporation, a safe haven, a safe house for these people to come to so we could pray for them, so we could break the curses off of them, so we could cast the demons out. But since the church can't even do that to themselves, then we're all just going to sit on our rear ends and do nothing. Or we're going to complain about it. You know, we'll read the paper, we'll listen to the media that's lying to us, but we'll absolutely do nothing. And the congressmen and the senators, the checks and balances are no longer there. Obama should never get away with what he's doing. He's a Obama abomination. That means that he is godless. He is of a Luciferian doctrine. He is an assignment, which, by the way, he in himself is a curse on the nation. Because we kill our young, we kill our babies, we accept practices and sexuality that are unbecoming to the Lord. And so that in itself brings a curse. So those who think that when they read the Old Testament about a curse is not a lie, yes, that's true. But how can you stand in this nation and look around and say, we haven't cursed? We don't deserve the curse. We didn't sin. No, we're allowing millions of babies to perish. It's part of our law. It's part of who we are. So therefore, we're cursed. And judgment comes on the righteous and the unrighteous. That when a nation is in the position that they're at, that there's a clean sweep. Now, there may be those who are brought out, those who are part of the intercessory, that are on their knees and they're praying. Yes, they may lose their life, but they're doing what God's told them to do. And when you are not doing what God has brought you into this world to do, because it's no mistake that you're alive today. It's no mistake that as we get into the tribulations, the situations that cause us to be fearful and to be at war and to starve and to die of thirst and to have pestilence and to have diseases, this is where we're heading. That if you're not cleaned up, if you're not in Christ, if you're not doing the will of God, then just as judgments pass down on those that commit worse crimes, I can guarantee you that someone that violates a child, that abuses a child, that kills a child, that molests a child, that their punishment is greater versus somebody that may still some food because they're hungry. See? That's literally one end of the spectrum from one end to the other. that when you harm the innocent, when you do something upon a child, it would be better that a millstone be around your neck and that you're cast into the ocean than to harm one of these little ones, to deceive, to bring them into, to teach them the ways of divination, because you're leading them to the lake of fire. And God is not real happy about that. And so for those who think that they're going to be not dealing with this subject that's coming, otherwise men's hearts will fail them for fear, for those things coming in, you don't think you're... What about the Chinese that are being beheaded? What about those in Iran and Iraq and Libya and all these other countries where there's Christians and they're being slaughtered? Where's their rapture? Now, we see in the book of Revelations under the altar of God that those who were beheaded, those who were killed for standing in the name of Jesus Christ, that they're put into a special place. They weren't raptured. They weren't delivered. You know, we see the apostles. Now, John was the only one that the martyr didn't complete. They tried to boil him in oil, and he came out unscathed and went on to write the book of Revelation. But we see all the other apostles, including Paul, were horribly executed. They were hung upside down on crosses. They were disemboweled. They were beheaded. They were stoned to death. So why would you think somebody who's not really doing what God's called you to do think you're getting out of here? I brought that up because you don't understand the deception that you're under, which is a curse. It's a generational curse. It's a curse you placed on yourself. Let me get back to that now. The charismatic curses, the charismatic witchcraft prayers, those things in a church when you're not praying in alignment of God, otherwise it lines up with the Word. You're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. You're not testing the Spirit. You're not being obedient. And you speak over people, as I mentioned in the church, about those that condemn for not having enough faith, the ones who are under a curse, that you yourself are cursing. But see, it's a two-way street. The curses are going to come back at you. Because you're to edify, you're to love, you're to speak kindness, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. And instead of helping somebody, you're cursing them. And you wonder why you're sick. You wonder why you have anxieties. You wonder why you can't get into an elevator, that when the door closes, you have a panic attack. You wonder why the sexual relationship in your marriage is not happening. You wonder why you've had all these spouses. You've been married X amount of times. You wonder why your kids are just going to hell in a handbasket. You know, the people that I deal with, the people that I pray over, that call me and send me emails, it's amazing what's going on in their life. And they're Christians, and I can tell they love Jesus Christ. But they've gone to this church and that church and some churches that tried to do deliverance. And when it comes to the breaking of curses, it is so important, because that once a curse is broken, then you can cast the demon out. See, when you speak a curse onto somebody, that spoken word, that oath, that power into the spirit realm, you are giving a demon or demons a legal right to torment that individual, your spouse, your children. You know, those people that I deal with too were in the womb, were 6 months, you know, before they had a chance to even experience life, there was a word curse spoke over them. So while they were in their mother, while they were in the womb, the mother might have said, I don't want this child. Or the husband and wife got into a fight and, you know, over finances, which is, again, is a curse of poverty. Because, you know, if you're in Christ, if you're in God, where's the power? Why are you struggling? Why, when you get $100 ahead, your car breaks down and it costs you two? You know what I'm talking about. Why do you keep getting in relationships with people that tear you down? That's a whole other show, by the way. But this iniquitous pull from curses that bring people together, it's an assignment because in the curse, as I mentioned, there's a demon behind it, and that demon works with other demons that may have the ability to speak into somebody because they have an open door, so there's a familiar spirit that lures the iniquitous pull someone into the relationship, just like women can be attracted to bad boys, just why men can be attracted to those women that are literally going to rip them in two in the end. So in order to really cleanse, one, you need repentance. When John the Baptist came out of the woods, first words out of his mouth, repent. So when you repent, you've stopped the sin. You've stopped it in its tracks. And now the mechanism, the microprocessor that's trying to crunch the numbers to keep the curse going, stops. You're literally hitting the reset button. You're not turning it off. You're hitting the reset button. Now you need to come back and reprogram it. And that programming is confessing your sins, asking for forgiveness, speaking into the spirit realm and breaking that curse, saying, I do not receive it. I will not tolerate it. Father, I am sorry for my ignorance and what I did. I did not know what I was doing, but now I do. Father, forgive me. I lay this at the cross. I break the generational curses off of my bloodline and all future generations. Father, from this day forward, I stand in righteousness with the blood of Jesus Christ, and that all curses are now disarmed, removed, canceled, and void. Now, see how important those words are, the words that I speak when I pray for people. A lot of times I'll say familiar words, I'll use, and then out of the blue, because the Holy Spirit comes in, there'll be a new word or something specific to the curse. And so that then is the scissors that cut the knot, the knife that cuts the noose away from the neck, the inhaler that enables a person with asthma to take a deep breath, the Holy Spirit. And when that curse is broken, you need to cast the demon out. Because if you don't, the demon will sit there dormant, kind of like a virus that really can't take hold just yet. And then your immune system's weakened from the cold, or maybe you know there was something else that came along and now it took hold. We see this in the hospitals all the time. MRSA, some of these things that these diseases that are coming back, and it's coming back with a vengeance. And so the point of it is get healthy. Don't let your spiritual immune system be compromised, and do not compromise the Word of God. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to curse yourself, whether it's a word curse or whether you're sinning that brings it in. So when you cast the devil out, when you cast the demon out, then that demon is not there to continue or to wait for the next situation or to provoke you. Maybe it can't carry out what its nature is. Let's say it's a curse of accidents. All right, so you've broken the curse of accidents. And now you're no longer bashing up your new cars. You're no longer tripping over things and hitting your head. You're no longer smashing your thumb with a hammer. You're no longer getting hurt by the darndest things that happen. I mean, it's like a black cloud over you all the time. And tonight, I'm going to be dealing with a curse of death, premature death. And so those that are listening tonight that are Christians, lift me up on this, because it literally is a situation that will mean life or death. But I'm up for the challenge, because God is still on the throne. Jesus Christ paid for us to have this power and authority by his shed blood on the cross. And so the dunamis, the dynamo, the power, the knowledge to know that God is the God of the Bible, that he's the creator of the universe, and that his son, not his daughter, not a third party, his son, who is part of the Trinity, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, willfully came and shed his, did a blood sacrifice to pay for, there had to be blood. You notice the Old Testament is just full of it. And we're going to see, and we are seeing blood sacrifices on demonic altars. And that's a whole other show in itself. I've touched on satanic ritual abuse and I deal with that because there's so many out there. But when you cast a demon out, that is the puppeteer, the mechanics behind the curse, then the curse no longer is effective. And immediately, all the issues stop, just like you went over and you turned the computer off that had a virus in it. Now the virus can't do anything because it's electronic, right? So without it being energized, without it being active in the circuit board on the motherboard or the microprocessor, going into the memory, going to the hard drive, being displayed on the screen, when there's no electricity, it's done. It's the same thing as casting a demon. It's done. Now, once that's done, you need to close the doors, because there was an entry point. Renouncing, asking for forgiveness, breaking the curses. At this point, you need to close the doors, that legal right that came in, the entry point. And when that's closed, you seal it with the blood of Jesus, and you ask for the Holy Spirit to come in to those areas that are now void. So if you were under a curse of heartbreak, a curse of anxieties, and you were in that condition for a very, very long time, now, and tonight I'm going to talk about personality disorders, that over time, just like an alcoholic who drinks so much alcohol, trying to kill the pain, trying to keep them from feeling things that they don't want to feel, they don't mature. There's arrested development. So when you're under a curse, now, it's not your fault. Now, you need to understand that, because the church should have been praying over you. It got in, word curse, generational curse, maybe you sinned, whatever. But the point of it is it's forgivable, see? So it means it can be reversed because of what Jesus did. But nobody's doing that. At least a small amount are doing it, but they're carrying the weight of the whole church. They're carrying the weight of the world, and we're tired. We need more deliverance ministers, more intercessors. So when you move forward, when a curse is broke off of you, you now have to learn who you are. Many that hear voices, you know, schizophrenia, even paranoid schizophrenia, meaning that you've been hearing voices for so long that over time you've been hardwired to think differently than what God intended you to be. He intended you to be a certain man or woman. He's called you to that. He wishes that none should perish. He loves you. But because of the sins of the Father, because of the sins that are from the garden, from the sins that are from what you brought on through your own sins, the curses, that you now have been, as I mentioned, hardwired. Your personality, your ability to comprehend, your cognitive thinking, your ability to handle, to problem solve, your personality is now compromised. You're not the same person that you would have been without the curse. And so you have a deep wound. You have an openness in you. You see things differently because you're always on alert status. You're always concerned that if you do this, something bad will happen. So now that means you have a spirit of fear. So if you have a spirit of fear, which is the exact opposite of faith, then you haven't been operating as a Christian that has dunamis. You haven't been doing the Lord's will, because through self-preservation, you've been trying to keep the peace at any cost within yourself. And so the Word of God is compromised. Now, when you remove the demon and when you've been healed, you then ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and fill those areas that are now void, that if you had fear, you now have courage. If you had confusion, you now have wisdom and discernment. If you were unable to have dreams or remember them because maybe you had a split personality, an alter, a multiple personality because of the trauma that was done to you. And by the way, that's the playground. That's a big part of this. This is why some do not come out. You have to fast and pray, because what you're doing is you're allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and mend the person, to bring them back up into a maturity, because there's a consecration in your walk with God. See, there's things you endure, and if you avoid these things, because we all deal with problems, you know, nothing ever goes right, you know, all the time. And, you know, especially my ministry, you know, I'm praying for other people. I'm going toe-to-toe. I'm bowing and stepping on the mat and having a round robin. You know, those who are in martial arts know that. You know, you fight several people, you keep going until you lose, right? So I'm always fighting in the spirit realm for other people. So I'll tell you, those that know me, they just shake their heads. They just say, I don't know how you sleep at night, Scott. I said, well, actually, I may stay up late because I'm always working, but when I sleep, I don't have nightmares. When I fall asleep, I don't wake up scared or thinking that someone's going to hurt me. I don't think like that at all. I wake up thinking, okay, what do I need to do now? Who else am I going to work with today that I can help? See, so those who are in fear, you're not doing the Lord's will because you're scared of the devil. You're scared to move out. That's a curse. Now, how many have said to themselves in a conversation, well, I'll be damned, renounce that, and stop it? How many have said, that means something bad's going to happen? No, stop that. Now, if you're been given discernment to a situation to open up the assignment of the enemy, so you can specifically come at it to stop it, that's a different circumstance. But for those that are under, that are being oppressed, and there's that word again, and I say that because there's a lot of pastors that say, well, Christians can be oppressed, but they can't have a demon. Oh, really? Well, I tell you what, last week I did another day. Well, and in fact, it was tonight, another day in the office on Second Heaven Invasion. And that, come and sit with me all day long. Sit right next to me. Sit at my right side as I deal with the mother that's got six kids, and it's a free-for-all in the house because the demons are having their way. The demons, the husband is worthless. He's an alcoholic. He ran off with the next door neighbor, and you know, now she can't make, you know, it's terrible. And then when I start praying for her, that all the word curses that even the kids spoke on her, the word curses that the husband spoke on her, the curses that her parents spoke on her that put her in that position, the demons, when I break, renounce, lead her to repentance, they come flying out of her like when you throw a rock at a hornet's nest. And she gets better, and she gets better, and the light starts coming back in her eyes. She starts lifting her head. She starts looking me in the eyes for a change. And now the smile comes back on. And it may have been a traumatic situation. And now she's delivered, but now she needs to understand who she is. She's been told that she's fat. She's been told she's ugly. She's been told she's stupid. She's been told that she'll never amount to anything, that nobody could love her. What a horrible thing to say to somebody. And we're all guilty of saying something like that to somebody somewhere in our lives. Children on the playground are horrible to each other because they don't understand what they're doing. They kind of pack together like wolves. And so you have an outcast, and some of you listening who may have been the target of those kids that you may have been overweight, or you were called four eyes, and then that, you know, all the kids then stand behind the one giving you a hard time, and next thing you know, that's a lie and a setup to establish hurt and wounds into your spirit, to establish a word curse over you that for the rest of your life, then it's just garbage. It's just crap. Your life is crap. And how terrible that is, because see, that was never intended to happen. When someone who is obedient of the Lord Jesus Christ moving forward with the Great Commission and lays hands on you, not only are they casting the demons out, but they're healing that broken, wounded little girl or little boy inside you. And now you're capable of becoming the man and woman of God that God intended you to be. See, that's why deliverance is so important. That's why praying for people is so important. See, God's just, he's given us all the tools and all the power to release, to set people free of their hurts and their... This nation could be completely turned around if there was repentance, if the men and women of God could understand that it's because of their disassociation to what we're supposed to do that has allowed the devil to have a reign, to run free in this country. And now we're paying the price. And everybody that's under a curse, and those that are wounded and hurt and contemplating suicide, there's an answer. And it's Jesus plus nothing. That means that the church you're going to, and I'm not pulling any punches here, because I mentioned it a couple of times here in the past weeks. I just dealt with a church that is forbidding me from doing deliverance. And those who are in the deliverance ministry know exactly what I'm talking about. That means that there's a spirit within that church that has them in bondage, that is deceiving them, and that they think that they're above and that they've positioned themselves to fall. Because once they spoke the words, there will be no deliverance in this church, they have cursed themselves. Rejecting Jesus is the ultimate curse. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is an ultimate curse. And when you deny the power of God, when you deny what Jesus did on the cross, you are cursing yourself. And if you're in a church like that, you need to leave. Because when the dung hits the fan, and the power of God, the protection of God is lifted off of these churches, and the end times accelerate. If anyone knows anything about ballistics, I'm doing a little crash course on that. And ballistics are the study of motion for speed versus distance, you know, opposing gravity, how much pressure was in it, how much kinetic energy, and the drop, the fall to before the target, whatever the circumstances around it, whether it's wind, temperature. That's literally the spirit realm. We've been catapulted by God through the spirit realm in the physical, but we have all of this opposition on us. And without velocity, we start to fall to ground. And when we fall to the ground, we miss the target. If there's not enough velocity per the distance, you're not going to make the target. Paul said, run the good race. Jesus is going to say to those that have completed the race, for those who have done what he has commanded them to do, well done, good and faithful servant. If you're not feeding the homeless, if you're not praying over the sick, if the elders in the church are not anointing for those who come forward, if you're not casting out demons, if you're not binding up the brokenhearted, you're not doing what God has called you to do. And you'll have to answer for it. Now, are we all perfect? No. Not at all. In fact, it's that recognition of how flawed we are that humbles us and allows us to come before the Lord. Many people that I've read about and that I've talked to that have had firsthand experiences with Jesus Christ, one of the first things that comes out of their mouth is that how sinful and naked I was before the Lord. Truth, power, and the very nature that I've allowed myself to be, this is the people talking that have experienced this, that I realized how far I had gone down the rabbit hole of stench, that now before Jesus Christ, I am embarrassed, I am humbled, and I am fearful because of the sin that has bound me and has pulled me into a direction. I now see that it has no place in heaven. That's some pretty serious words. That those who practice such things, meaning fornication, lying, that if it's a non-fruit of the Spirit, and that they practice such things, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you're under a curse, if you've been word cursed, you may have spirits of deception that keep you from understanding the word. I have people all the time go, I read the word, but it doesn't make any sense, or it's not speaking to me, or I don't feel God. Who is God? I want to serve God, but who is he? I don't feel him. I get this all the time. Because they're under a curse. And those that were cursed from the womb, or it's a generational curse that was long established before they were born, need to have that broken off. So as you mature forward without opposition, otherwise the ballistic, the velocity that you're catapulted, you come fired out of the gun and you're flying at 2,000 feet per second, and the target is 100 yards away versus coming out of the barrel at 200 feet per second, you're going to hit the ground before you hit the target. That dunamis, that power, that dynamite, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to heal and consecrate you. It's going to convict you, not condemn you. Those in the church condemn. Those that do such things that cause people to withdraw from God because they've been condemned by the church. You don't have enough faith. You need more faith. No, they're demonized. They're under a curse. Break the curse off of them. Set them free. Have them understand that they are a jewel in the eye of God. But God has sent his Son who paid the price, enabling us to have the power to move forward in the end times. We're called to do it. Me a while. I didn't understand that myself. I really had to have my rear end kicked emotionally, spiritually, physically, before I understood that there really is a devil, there really is a hell, and that we're in warfare, and that for not defending myself, I'm allowing them to strike at me. If you were to see a child being abused, and I've said this before, if you're driving along and, you know, there's somebody along the road and they're smacking a child, and I don't mean spanking, and I mean they're abusing them, they're causing harm to them, that should get your goat. That should bring up a righteous anger that you slam on the brakes, either yell out the window, you know, if you're a woman, maybe you can't because this is some beast, but at least you're screaming at them, it's going to stop them. And if you're a guy that's 6'2" and you're 250 pounds, get out and stop it. There's a demon in that guy, a demon in that crazy woman, that through their ugly nature is using the person to inflict pain on the innocent. That means evil is being committed before your very eyes. And that us who are in Christ, us who have been called to the empowerment to move forward in the authority of God, cannot allow evil to prevail before us. That needs to stop. Those who are killing children in the abortion clinics, those who are causing the homeless to starve because they're not allowing their dollars, maybe they're rich, maybe they're able to do something for somebody that's only a drop in the bucket for them, and they're not doing it. You're going to curse yourself. And that is no place to be. So I want you to understand that what you say into the spirit realm will set your destiny, and that you've been called to move forward in God, to heal the sick and set the captives free, to remove the curses off of yourself and others. And I'll tell you what, when you're delivered, when you're set free, the joy of the Lord comes in. And I said joy, not happiness, joy, unspeakable joy that flows out of you, that endures and loves others because of it. And others will see that, and they'll want it. And what a testimony you'll be for that. Well, we're out of time. I should have maybe made this 2 hours. But anyways, I'm going to continue tomorrow. And so join us again. And again, my Scott Hensler. So God bless, and we'll see you later.